From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Just days before Labor Day, a major political battle is being fought in the nation's largest state over workers' rights. California's Assembly Bill 5, if passed, would have serious consequences for the so-called gig economy, forcing major corporations like Uber and Lyft to treat their workers as employees rather than independent contractors. On Wednesday, Uber and Lyft drivers protested in front of the Uber headquarters in San Francisco in support of AB 5 and demanding that Uber stop its concerted lobbying efforts against the bill. Today, we'll speak with Leonardo Diaz, he's an Uber and Lyft driver, and Coral Itzcali, a longtime labor organizer, communications director of SEIU Local 721, and also a spokesperson for the Mobile Workers Alliance. Welcome to the program, Leonardo and Coral.
Thank you for having us.
First, Leonardo, let's start with you. Tell me a little bit about the work that you do and what your conditions are and why AB 5 is such an important bill to you personally.
Oh, yes. I have been working for Uber and Lyft for 4.5 years. And we are working on the AB 5 because, like, we are misclassified as independent contractors. So when we pass the AB 5, we're going to have all the benefits that, you know, like Uber and Lyft are just avoiding to pay. So we deserve all those full benefits, but they keep saying, like, we are independent contractors. And even today they were sending me agreement to sign it, saying that if I don't sign the, you know, the agreement, it looks like they're going to deactivate my accounts.
Sign what agreement?
They are saying, like, I have to, they're going to do like a background, you know, like that, asking me for my social security number, and then they showing me what the agreement is. But, you know, like, they trying to kick me out, like saying, probably you read a little bit about that, right?
Yeah, they received a request for agreement. Some drivers got it today. Leonardo just showed it to me moments ago. Essentially, the company is requesting to get more information on their lifestyle, and sounds like they might be going into their social media accounts, maybe getting a better sense of who these workers are. But obviously that opens them up for disclosing personal information that maybe an employee doesn't want to disclose to their employer. So it really does bring into question this whole idea of, are they really true independent contractors? Because they're asking all this personal information that usually employers would ask. And sometimes, you know, crossing even those boundaries that some employers don't ask your personal information on Facebook or Twitter, et cetera.
So, Coral, tell me a little bit specifically about AB 5 before we get into the actions that took place this week. What exactly would AB 5 require of all companies in California? And specifically, how would it impact companies like Uber and Lyft?
Absolutely. AB 5 codifies the Dynamics decision. Dynamics decision was passed here in California, which essentially what it does, it puts the onus on the employer to prove that their workers are, in fact, true independent contractors. The misclassification of workers is a scheme that has been long used by various employers in various industries, not just the gig economy, but even truck drivers in our largest ports in our nation are currently misclassified. And they've been fighting misclassification for over 30 years now. And so what we see is, we're hoping that AB 5 passes, because what it would do, inputting that onus, it gives a ABC test to the employers that they must pass to prove that their workers are in fact classified properly. Everything points to the fact that Uber and Lyft drivers are obviously misclassified and will be finally properly classified as employees. And that's very important, because that when a worker is classified properly as an employee, they get very basic rights and benefits, minimum wage, laws would apply to Uber and Lyft. Currently, most of the workers who drive for Uber and Lyft are making, on average, $4 to $6 under the minimum wage, the current legal minimum wage. Another thing could be overtime pay. Because Uber pays such low rates, we have workers who report working 12 to 16 hours a day without any overtime. We also have workers' comp. These workers are on the roads. We have some of the very busy roads here in California, in Southern California, Los Angeles. Takes absolutely no responsibility when they get hurt on the job. And so all these benefits and protections that labor has been key in fighting for employees would finally be able to be in their lives, workers like Leonardo. They will actually be able to take care of themselves and their family.
Leonardo, what difference would it make in your life if labor laws that are applied to all other employees actually applied to you? What difference would it make for you to be guaranteed a minimum wage?
Oh, wow. Yeah, you know, that's going to help a lot, you know, to my family, you know, like you're going to have time for my family, you know, to share with them. And then I'm going to be free of stress because, you know, like right now, like many of our drivers, you know, they don't see their family often. Sometimes they have to work. Like yesterday, I saw one of my partner, like she said, like she's a single mother. So she has like two daughters and one son, and she has to work from 12 to 16 hours, you know, to cover all the spending, all the expenses, you know, like she has, you know, in her home. So she looks very tired because of that. And she worked like from 12 to 16 hours. Probably she's going to get like from $150 to $200. That means like, you know, after, you know, like deducting all the expenses, like the gas, because we paid for the gas and repairs, replacement tires, and we have to do like oil changes, you know, very often. Then, you know, when you don't drive like very, you know, like a lot of miles, you don't do that. But, you know, in our case, you know, like we have to drive a lot, you know. But driving 16 hours and getting just like $200, that mean like probably she's getting like just $100, you know, taking home. So it doesn't help too much. Doesn't help, like, you know. And plus, we are talking about the depreciation of our vehicles, like putting a lot of miles. And then the thing is, like, they are when we started this business, you know, they were paying like $2.25 per mile. And then after years, they were changing. And then they were paying $1.80, and then $1. And then they went to 90 cents per mile, and then 86 per mile, 84. And now new drivers, they get 60 cents per mile. Well, I've been driving for more than 4 years, so they're paying me 64 cents per mile. So when we're going to tax, you know, filing all the taxes, you know, they are deducting like deductible, like the miles is like just 52 cents per mile. Like how much I'm getting getting home, you know.
So, a little, you know, so let's talk about what drivers and labor organizers, because labor unions are strongly backing AB5, did this week in support of AB5. I understand that drivers participated in a pilgrimage up and down the state of California, a three-day caravan on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, during which they lobbied lawmakers and also protested in front of the Uber headquarters. Carl, tell us about this three-day caravan.
Absolutely. We had hundreds of drivers throughout California who teamed up. The caravan took off from Los Angeles on Monday, the 26th, and it went through the central part of California. That's the heart of California. It made a stop at the UFW with farm workers, paid homage to the pilgrimage that Cesar Chavez did in the 70s. And that was really important because it's a very similar fight. It's a set of workers that are being denied their very basic rights by their employer. And so they gathered and garnered support as they were making stops in cities like Fresno. It culminated in Sacramento, but not before making a stop at Uber headquarters, shutting the street down. It was an unbelievable show of support. We had presidential candidates who came in support.
Right, I understand South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg was there and made an appearance.
That is right. What's happening here, what these workers are really bringing voice is to something that's going to impact workers nationwide. Companies like Uber and Lyft tout themselves as being innovative. There's nothing innovative about unjust working conditions. Worker expectation is as old as time. And so let's be very clear, they're failing in innovation when it comes to workers' rights. And so these workers took this pilgrimage. Workers like Leonardo participated, and they don't get paid. If they don't work, they don't get paid. Mm-hmm. And so they sacrifice 3 days of pay because it is so important to them. It is such a crucial part of their ability to really provide for their families. And they ended up at the doorstep of our capital in Sacramento, really raising up the voices of workers and really encouraging our state leaders to stand up for workers to ensure that AB5 passes and that these workers have a very clear path to a union.
So what has Uber and Lyft's response been to AB5? Can you give me a sense of their lobbying efforts? I understand that these companies sent direct messages to their drivers urging them to not support AB5 and trying to make the case that the status quo was much more in their favor and that AB5 would somehow be a disaster for workers' rights.
That's right. You see, Uber and Lyft have been sending messages to their drivers, intimidating drivers, outright lying to them on what's at hand. They put fear tactic around flexibility. They say they're going to lose their flexibility if they become employees. AB5 does nothing to impact flexibility. That's up to the boss. If the boss can figure out how to give you tasks, how to pay you, how to give you instructions on taking your rights via your phone, they can figure out how to keep flexibility once you're an employee with rights. And so, you know, part of the work that Leonardo and other MWA members have been doing is talking to other coworkers, to other drivers and saying, hey, don't fall for it. Like, you know, when we get a seat at the table, we'll be able to decide on flexibility and pay rates and what's really right for them.
And that's the only argument they have, like flexibility. You know, we have like more than 1,000 arguments, you know, they take into court. You know, we have like, I think like a million, you know, arguments to fight them back. Like, they're not going to win, you know, we're going to win because that's the only argument they have, like saying flexibility hours, like we're going to lose that. So like, you know, at the end, we don't care. If they said that, you know, like we know already, like we, when we have like, we are employees, we have directions, that we have control, that's a matter. But the thing is that, you know, we're going to get all the benefits. That's very important for us. Like they lost, you know, I'm telling you that, you know, like they don't know what to do. They're nervous. They scared about that. I know they're a monster, but like one time I said, like, you know, we are all of us, like MWA, we represent David, and then that's versus Goliath. So we're going to defeat Goliath because we are together, you know, with all our organizers. Thank you for helping us, SEIU, like at 721, that you are taking, you know, our case, you know, to help us. So we are proud to say, like, we are going to be the first in LA County, California, like organizing this. This is big, you know, historic. So then we're going to spread out, you know, all the nation, and then I believe they're going to be all across the world.
So, Carl, tell me about the demand from workers to not just get the right to be recognized as employees, but also the right to unionize.
Absolutely. Employee status is only step one, right? That's to set the floor. It's our basis. But as we all know, anyone who's a worker, just because you're an employee doesn't mean that you're going to get fair pay or benefits or, you know, fair working conditions. Employee status is only the beginning. As we see in workers across industries in America, workers like those who work for fast food industries like McDonald's, or those who work in the retail industry like Walmart, just because they're employees doesn't mean they're actually able to earn a living wage. And working families across industries are struggling, and unions are coming up again and again as the key, the answer, that we need unions for all, that we need to ensure that workers have an avenue, a seat at the table through which they can negotiate fair, livable wages, fair working conditions. And it is very inspiring to see the workers in the gig economy, this very brand new kind of work, that they already know that going in, they know they're not going to survive. They know they're not going to make it unless they have a strong union, unless they have a real voice at the table.
So tell me a little bit about where AB5 stands right now in California. How close is it to passing? Are there enough votes for it to pass both houses of the state legislature? And does it have the support of Governor Gavin Newsom?
That's a really good question. You know, we're all very hopeful. It is right now in the Appropriations Committee, and it is set to go to the Senate floor for a vote in the next couple of weeks. And we're hopeful it will pass. The support from the governor, we hope that we have. Our workers have gone to his office. They've gone to the Capitol more than once and really made their case. He has heard directly from workers like Leonardo with various stories on to workers who are living in their cars because they're driving for Uber and Lyft. You know, just very heart-wrenching stories that I really hope that we will have the support of all of our leaders in Sacramento. This AB5 is the right step, is the first step. And, you know, we're asking for that AB5 and a clear path to a union. The workers deserve that. California is known as the Golden State. It will be impossible for California to continue to be that golden state. We're not raising standards for the average worker.
And I understand that this is definitely becoming a national issue as well, and an issue in an election issue. You mentioned South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg showed his support. Elizabeth Warren, Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, wrote an op-ed in the Sacramento Bee earlier this month, urging her fellow Democrats to back AB5. And it's becoming a sort of litmus test, I understand, among Democrats nationwide. To ensure that they all line up behind a bill like AB5. Bernie Sanders has also shown his support for this bill. Is this the kind of thing that you are hopeful about, gaining support from outside California so that a bill like this, if it passes, then spreads its effect to the rest of the country?
Absolutely. I think that where there is all the presidential candidates that you just mentioned, Warren, Sanders, Mayor Pete, what they are seeing is what the rest of America is seeing. Average working families are struggling, and we need to shift. The system is tilted, it is unfair, and it is bringing lots of profits to that 1%, but the rest of us Americans are left to struggle. And that American dream is dying, or it may have already been classified as dead, you know, because people are losing their homes. People are one paycheck away from homelessness, and people are struggling to pay their medical bills. They're going into bankruptcy because of their lack of health insurance. All of that can be safeguarded if we have a strong, healthy unionization across our nation. Because that is exactly what we do in labor. We raise the standards. We make sure that workers have a fair wage, that they can keep paying their rent or their mortgage, that they have enough to save to send their kids to college, that they have a health care plan that takes care of themselves and their families, and that they're not going to the public health care system where we have our public health care workers telling us they don't have enough people in hand to take care of everyone, because everyone's relying on a public health system that's not quite equipped to take care of everyone that the Walmarts and the McDonald's of the world are not taking care of. So for us, it makes sense that these presidential candidates are looking at AB5. They're looking at what gig workers are doing, because we should all be looking at that. We should all really be looking at the need for unionization across America.
Hmm. And Senator Bernie Sanders has introduced a federal version of AB5 in the Senate. And here in California, where our program is based, where you are based, and where this fight is playing out, it was Assemblymember Lorena Gonzalez who introduced AB5. California is a Democratic state. It's dominated by Democrats every level of government. It should be a straight shot, one would imagine, for Democrats to back this bill, pass it, and make it happen. It strikes me as strange that it would even be in question that California could pass such a bill.
I couldn't agree with you more. The Democratic Party, along with anyone who really believes in that American dream and really bringing it back to life, needs to support AB5, needs to support the voices of these workers who are trying to do the very minimum, which is get America back on track. Mm.
Finally, Leonardo, any last message to your fellow rideshare drivers that might be listening? Because as Coral mentioned, taking the time to protest means losing money for people like yourself who aren't guaranteed a basic minimum wage. And so certainly I imagine that most rideshare drivers sat out the 3-day caravan this week. What words of encouragement do you have to any rideshare drivers that might be listening right now?
Yes, I want to tell all my my partners, don't let nobody intimidate them. And then fight back and fight. And then go to MWA.org and just register right there. And then we say, we stronger together. So don't let nobody do that.
I believe the website is mobilealliance.org for Mobile Workers Alliance.
Mobilealliance.org.
So tell me briefly about that website, Coral, where if people go to that website, what will they find?
They will find information on how to sign up and be part of MWA, the Mobile Workers Alliance. They will get real-time updates on what's happening with AB5 and how they can be part of that fight, how they can join, make sure their voice is part of that fight. And they will be the first to know on any next steps when it comes to the workers really fighting back against the threats on Uber and Lyft. So it's a really hub. We're also on Facebook under the Mobile Workers Alliance. And workers are more than welcome to join and share their stories. This is how we get a lot of our information. People, these workers are very, very eager to get justice and to really be heard.
Well, I want to thank the two of you very much for joining us today. We'll post a link to mobilealliance.org from our website as well. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
My guests have been Leonardo Diaz, who is an Uber and Lyft driver, and Coral Itzcali, a longtime labor organizer, communications director of SEIU Local 721, and spokesperson for Mobile Workers Alliance. We've been discussing the push for AB5 in California. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and now Spotify.